hearers of God's word, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Lent. The word, it comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, and it means literally springtime, the springtime of the soul. This is what we long for, yearn for during these 40 days of Lent, a springtime, a time of new beginnings for our souls, for our relationship with Christ, new beginnings in Him, a time in which we might experience a deeper awakening of our Holy Spirit working within us, God's Spirit transforming our hearts and minds. We want to experience the deeper intimacy of God's presence, to hear His voice speaking into the realities of our lives. We want to experience the power of His word, believe His promises, and grow in faith. We want to experience God's Holy Spirit bearing that fruit of the Spirit in our lives of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lent. I've always considered it a wonderful gift from God to us, a time that invites each and every one of us to slow down. And maybe especially in today's harried world, Lent is an incredible blessing, a time to slow down. Listen, to hear God's holy word, to focus in. So how can we best use this gift of Lent that God gives us? Well, I can always remember my mother saying, don't pray for a good garden unless you've got a hoe in your hands. So what are some of the gardening tools that God might give to us? Often these spiritual gardening tools are referred to as spiritual disciplines, and we're going to look at six of them this evening. I want you to consider this a working sermon where you actually take notes. I'm going to be going through six of the different spiritual disciplines, and all you need to do is just write down those six things. Don't bother to take elaborate notes unless the Spirit moves you, okay? But jot down those six words, and then that's when the work begins. The invitation is to take home those six words and for you and God the Holy Spirit to have a conversation together. And for you to be able to ask God, so which of these do you want to use in my heart, in my life, this Lent? It might be one, it might be more than one. But just ask God. Just ask Him. And He'll answer. So, I'll read them quickly now. Don't try to keep up with me, because I'm going to go through them one by one. But I'll start by listing them, okay? First is reading and meditating on God's holy word. Second is prayer. Third is self-examination and repentance. The next one, number four, is fasting and self-denial. The fifth is sacrificial giving. And the sixth is works, deeds of love, a servant's heart. So let's look at the first, reading and meditating on God's own holy word. If you want a good garden, you got to start with good seed. And there's nothing better than the seed of God's own holy word. For this is no ordinary word. God spoke, and out of nothing, ex nihilo, the heavens and the earth, they were created. God speaks. God speaks in Jesus Christ. The living word come among us, and the blind see. The lame walk, indeed they leap for joy. The lepers are cleansed. Sins are forgiven, and the dead are raised up. God's word, it has the power to do, to effect that of which it speaks. Therefore, it has the power to change us. Pastor Nicky Gumbel in the Alpha Course states, quote, God still speaks today through the Scriptures. He may speak to us as we read. The psalmist says, quote, your statutes are my counselors, close quote, Psalm 119, verse 24. That is not to say that we find God's will by opening the Bible anywhere at random and seeing what it says. Rather, as we develop the habit of regular, methodical Bible study, we begin to find it quite extraordinary how appropriate each day's reading seems to be for the particular circumstances that we find ourselves in. Sometimes the verse seems to almost leap off of the page at us, and we sense God speaking literally through it to us, to our lives. Close quote. Reading and meditating on God's own holy word. This is where each and every one of us, as God's children, born in the waters of baptism, this is where we need to begin each of our lives every day, meditating on the word. That means slowing down. You know, over the years, sometimes I've tried to see how much of the scripture I can get through, and I've seen other people doing that. And that's a good thing, because you begin to see the whole counsel of God. That's why we've got a group that meets every Tuesday at noon, and during the process of one year, we read through the whole Bible. We've done it together for many years. And to see that whole counsel of God, how it all holds together, that's good. But there's another way that we need to be reading God's word. And that's where you slow down. And God, as it were, gives you a verse where he's just asking you to let it sink in. It's not like skipping a stone across a pond. That's volume reading. This is letting the stone drop and sink and let the ripples of its implication ripple throughout your life. You take that verse, or maybe it's just half of a verse, and you memorize it. And you write it down on a little piece of paper, or I like to text it into my phone and then bring it up many times throughout the day and just refocus. Let it sink in. And as you do that, you will hear God speaking that living word from him into what you're experiencing that day. It'll reshape how you see things, how you experience people, reading and meditating on God's word. Number two, prayer. That's the second thing. And it's in many ways connected closely to this meditating on God's word. Because when we're meditating on God's word, we are prayerfully, you see, reading the word. Prayer. Let's face it. Lots of times prayer for Christians is like, here's my shopping list. I want all these things by tonight, if not sooner. But that's not prayer. Yes, it's good to make our desires known unto God. Yes, absolutely. But prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. So for prayer to be what God wants it to be in our lives, we need to slow down in prayer. Create moments of quiet when we listen. You know, think about Jesus. He made time at the beginning of every single day to spend time with his Heavenly Father. Do you think his time in prayer with his Heavenly Father was, hi, God, this is what I need today. Boom, 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 boom. Thanks, God. See you later. Bye-bye. Think that's Jesus in prayer with the Father? It's a dialogue. And that's what God wants you and I to experience with him. Yes, we share our hearts, we share our needs, we share our concerns for our friends and our loved ones, we pray for them, but we're listening. Listening for how God is speaking, going to speak back into our lives. We wait upon the Lord in prayer, listening, prayer. And that brings us to the third thing, number three, self-examination and repentance. You see, when we spend time in God's presence, in prayer and in his word, well, the light of his truth, it shines forth, and guess what? It's going to reveal our sin, isn't it? A big part of Lent is it's an opportunity to get right with God. And that means we come into Lent desiring an open heart, a humble heart, humbling ourselves before Almighty God. It's saying, God, give me a teachable spirit. Make me clay in your hands that's not stiff, but malleable. Shape me, Lord. We're asking to be God's garden. And that means that we are asking God to bear the fruit of His Holy Spirit in our lives, that we begin to be so filled with this fruit of the Spirit that it pours forth from our lives and the way in which we live towards those around us. God's love overflowing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're also asking God, the gardener, to do some weeding, right? To weed out all those sins. Our sins of pride and our willfulness, our stubbornness, our self-centeredness, our lack of self-control. Oh, anything that is not pleasing in the eyes of God, that He would reveal it to us and that He would weed it out. Now, this side of heaven, we're not going to be perfect. But what did John the Baptist say? Speaking about himself and Jesus, John said, I must decrease. He must increase. In other words, less of me and more of thee. That is our prayer. God wants us, His children, to know the joy of His forgiveness, and that's why He invites us into confession, so that seeing our sin, we might turn from our sin towards Him and truly confess, and then to experience that blessing of our sins washed away and the joy of knowing that Christ has forgiven us. Number four, fasting and self-denial. Why fast? Why this emphasis in Lent on self-denial? You know, is it just the church's way of, you know, it's our friendly weight-watching program? You can buy any number of them on the TV. Actually, it's nothing to do with weight-watching. But the purpose is so that we might draw closer to Jesus. That's what fasting is about. You know, admittedly, in fasting, you might lose a little weight, but that's the side effect. Fasting. One of our junior high kids, who's no longer a junior high kid, but when he was in junior high in confirmation, we were talking about fasting, and he shared with us that God had laid on his heart that he should give up texting for Lent. It had just become way too absorbing in his life. He was realizing that his life was out of balance when it came to texting. And to have a junior high kid with that kind of spiritual maturity, praise God, it preaches to us all. Where is your life out of balance? Where is your life out of balance? Our family, one year when we still had four young kids at home, we decided that we should all give up watching TV for Lent. That was really good for us. It was really good for us. Our lives had gotten out of balance, and we found ourselves spending more time than reconnecting with each other, and that was good, and reconnecting with God, and that was good. People will do something that's called partial fast. Maybe someone says, I'm going to fast from chocolate, or I'm going to fast from all sweets and desserts, or I'm going to fast from all red meat during Lent, or I'll fast from all alcoholic beverages during Lent, or Pepsi or Coke. I had a good friend in my very first parish. I can't imagine how much Pepsi she drank every single day. She decided one Lent, her life was out of balance. And she said, Pastor, I'm giving up Pepsi for Lent. And I knew that that would be a huge spiritual self-discipline for her, and she did it. There's something called a Daniel fast. That's when you say, during this time, I'm only going to eat vegetables and drink water. Or sometimes people will go on a total fast. That's where you don't eat anything at all, and you only drink water. Please drink water, okay? Yes. A total fast. Some folks would do a total fast of only drinking water for one day. Some will do it for two. or for 3 days. Some folks will do it for 7 days. It depends on what the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, and I would add, what's okay with your doctor, okay? 1 year I was fasting, and I didn't drink enough water. It's not that I hadn't given up water, but you would be surprised how much water you need to drink when you're fasting. And I had underestimated, and I passed out in the middle of the Great Easter Vigil. That was not cool. Sorry again to scare all of you. So what's the point of giving things up, no matter what you're fasting from? So we draw closer to Jesus. Our little sacrifices, every single time that craving comes to grab for what we would normally grab for, and then we went, oh yeah, I gave that up for Lent. Then that's the reminder. And God gave up infinitely more. Our little things that we give up don't begin to compare to the infinite sacrifice made for you and me. And you know what? When we spend less time in food preparation or whatever we're fasting from, when we spend less time doing that, we have more time to spend in prayer and to spend in God's word. You know, less time watching TV, less time doing Facebook or other forms of social media, whatever you're giving up, leaves more time to be with our Lord. Fasting invites us truly to get our lives back in balance. Some people, they're obsessed with exercising. And some people are just stuck on the couch. Some people are obsessed with clothes and makeup and fashion. Some people are obsessed with eating or snacking or television or video games or sports. You can get obsessed with all kinds of things. Anything can become something that will get you out of balance. So it's this invitation to ask God, where's my life out of balance? And it'll be different things for different folks. But how is God calling you then to spend more time with him? Another reason for fasting, just to mention it, if you're eating less, your grocery bill goes down, okay? So I know in the Orthodox Church that my daughter attends, they make a real point of, as your grocery bill goes down during your Lenten fast, we encourage you to give those additional resources to the poor. And so it's really a very beautiful combination, eating less, and having more resources to give to those who have no food. Number five, sacrificial giving. There are really three different levels of giving that the scriptures speak of. The first is tithing. God calls every single believer to be a tither. That means we give God the first 10% of our incomes off the top. It's first fruits giving, the first 10% off the top. What we give above and beyond that, above the tithe, God's word calls an offering. Maybe you didn't know that. So we tithe. Above the tithe is an offering. And then if it's a level of giving that truly changes your life, changes your priorities, changes your plans, then that's a sacrifice. Okay? And those are the three different ways that giving is described in God's word. And that's why in our worship services, we invite people to participate in worship by the giving of their tithes, their offerings, and their sacrifices. Number six, works, deeds of love. Our giving calls us to think beyond ourselves, and that's what we see in works and deeds of love. For several years during Lent, I got involved with a group of Christians, and we decided to follow a practice that was actually started by John Wesley, the reformer who started the Methodist Church. And the point of this little Lenten discipline was to think beyond ourselves because we so naturally become self-centered, self-serving. I say that we're by nature navel gazers, looking inward upon ourselves. But Christ calls us to be a servant. And so in this Lenten discipline, you get up each morning and you pray, God, give me one thing that I can do for every single member of my family today, where I can bless them, where I can encourage them, where maybe it's a statement that I just go out of my way to build them up, or maybe it's something I see I can do for them. And I would confess to you that changed my life, that simple little discipline. That simple little discipline it caused me as a dad coming in from work. You know, the first thing, coming from our garage, walking through our family room, I see the kids there, usually the TV would be on, and the first word out of my mouth to my kids after the whole day was, is your homework done? Did I say, hi, how was your day? No. Did I say, did you have a good day? No. I just said, is your homework done? And God messed with me and said, that's not being a very loving father. And I realized that I should start at a different place. It's okay to ask my kids if their homework's done. But start with, how was your day? What happened today? Anything fun? Anything interesting? Sit down. Talk to them. Not just walk on through between one meeting and the next. I think we all have people in our lives where God would invite us to slow down so we can bless them. Maybe God's going to lay in your heart something kind or encouraging that you can do each day for a coworker. Or for a friend. Maybe it's calling someone up you haven't seen in a long time who could use that word of love and blessing and encouragement. Works and deeds of love. How can we become signs of God's own gracious love? Engaging intentionally in caring relationships that point people to Jesus. My, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Being intentional about engaging in relationships in such a way that we can be Jesus with skin on to those people right in our own lives. So receiving the ashes, it's a somber word spoken over each of us as we receive those ashes. They put us in our place. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We're not little gods. We are mere mortals. But we have a God, we have a Savior who loves us so much. He has given his very life for us. And he just wants us to know the depth of his love for us. Folks, that's the gift of Lent. Falling more and more in love with Jesus. Spending more time with your beloved. For he is our beloved and we are his. May you be blessed with a beautiful, beautiful life.